Good morning. All right, it is a good morning. I just want to say three words in lieu of our service last week and the outcome of the election, all right? And I mean, this ought to make you shout. And if you can't shout this morning, you ought to clap. But the three words are, if, come on with me, if my people. Last week, we gathered together and we prayed. I want you to know that God not only heard our prayers, but he answered our prayers. Amen? And we get to look forward to maybe something different. But let's just give him praise today for that, okay? Let's just give him praise. Now, it's our duty, just as it was our spiritual responsibility to vote, it's our duty as praying, Bible-believing Christians to continue to pray for our leaders. Amen? So make that something that you do, remember to do in the morning. So will you please stand with me and hold your Bibles up in the air, and we will join together and repeat our Bible declaration. Are you ready? We're all up, all right? All right. Say this with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will put up the word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. I'll never be the same. Say that line again. I'll never be the same. Say this. I don't ever want to be the same. In Jesus' name. Let's go. Let's go. Amen and amen. All right. This morning, we're going to talk about what happens when Christians who purpose in their hearts to run the race that God has set before them, what happens, all right? And maybe you're wondering why I would say a race, okay? But it's because Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:24 likened the Christian life to a race. And included in that race is battling the powers of darkness. How many of you know that? Yeah. Battling the powers of darkness, which can take on many forms, all right? It can take on the form of, or come through, maybe friends. Amen? Come on. Or maybe close family, maybe your spouse, maybe a relative, a boss, okay? Or you know what else? And not very many of us like to admit that this can happen, but it can come through our flesh. Amen? It can come through our flesh. How many of you know today that many times we blame the devil for what our flesh manifests? Oh, amen. Oh, come on. You ought to say amen. Amen. Paul tells us if we are going to win this race, it's going to include setting a purposeful pace for the race, okay? And I want to, oh, Ron's gone. Serena, would you come up and pray for the service?
Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. I thank you that it will find a resting place in our spirit, that we will hide it in our heart, that we won't sin against you, that it will change us, create in us a clean, pure heart, and renew a steadfast, right spirit within us, God. We thank you that you never take your Holy Spirit from us, but you restore to us the joy of our salvation. And we give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name.
Amen. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Now, I just got to ask you, okay? Ron's not there right now. Is there anything I should know? Like, is someone having a heart attack? Or like, okay. Okay. Security, whatever it is. I know what he's doing. Okay. Many of us, when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, many of us had addictions to overcome. And quite likely, there were some chains that held us bound that needed to be loosed. Are you with me? As well as some baggage that we would have to unload. How many of you know what I'm talking about this morning? And many of us still have, and that's kind of unfortunate, but many of us still have either the same addictions or addictions that we have acquired along the way, including chains and baggage that we haven't dealt with yet. I think in my experience anyway, that no matter what stage of Christianity you find yourself in, there will still be issues that we have to deal with. Amen? That's just life. We aren't perfect. what we end up defeating, we sometimes fall back into. So it's going to happen to us all our life. And the truth is, you know, we just need Jesus to help us through it all. Amen? How many, you know, if I could count the times, or if I had a dollar for the times that I've said, you know, Serena, I just need Jesus today. I just need Jesus. I'd probably be a rich man. Do you ever do that? You just need to get to the Lord. You just need for him to talk to you. You just need to feel his presence. If there's one thing I think the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me about, is about reminding everyone of the need to be intentional. Say intentional. And what I'm saying is that we have to live our Christian life, if you will, and we have to run that race, if you will, with purpose and intention. And I didn't write this down, and this gets scary because sometimes I don't go back to my notes. But the truth is, if you don't make some things happen in your life, they're just not going to happen in your life. You know, you can talk all you want to about having a prayer life, boy, and I want to pray and everything, but if you don't just pray, it doesn't happen. Oh, I think I'm gonna, you know, go ahead and start tithing. But if you don't start tithing, it's not going to happen. So there's so many things in our life that if there's so many things in our life that we just have to make happen. How do you make it happen? You start doing it. You start doing it on purpose. You know, that's why the vision of this church is life on purpose. We're going to live our life on purpose. We're going to serve God. We're going to pray to God. We're going to make sure that we can do everything we can to further his kingdom. Amen? Amen? Amen. Well, I came back to my notes. Today we're going to use 1 Corinthians 9:24 as our text, but first I want to kind of introduce you to the Corinthian church, okay? So why don't you take a minute, please, to just turn to 1 Corinthians 9:24, and I'll just keep on talking. Because that's what I do on Sunday mornings. I talk and I forget things. No. The church in Corinth, at the time this epistle was written, were struggling just with their environment. And by that I mean they were struggling with the worldliness that was in the world around them. How many of you know that we are surrounded with worldliness? Yeah? Amen. They were surrounded by massive corruption and every conceivable temptation to sin. Sounds like today, doesn't it? And they felt a pressure, if you will, to adapt and conform to the world that was surrounding them. And that's a temptation for all of us. And I think all of us have felt that pressure, you know, to succumb to the worldliness that surrounds you, to just give up and say, this is just too hard. Too many changes, too many things are called for in my life to continue to be able to walk this Christian walk. You see, the Corinthians understood that they were completely set free in Christ, okay, just like you and I. But they had so many questions. They knew that they were out from under the law, but what did that freedom really mean? You know, how should they view idols? And how should they view sexuality? And what should they do about marriage? Okay, and what should they do about women in the church? What should they stay away from, and what should they cling to? I mean, it was overwhelming for them. And if you remember the beginning of your Christian walk, if there was ever a time when you sat down, God, what needs to change? Man, the amount of things that needed to change were massive. Just massive. You know, and I think that when we realize that we're born again from above and that we aren't the same person that we used to be, that we get to start all over again. Come on, somebody ought to get excited about this. We get to start all over again. That's a wonderful thing that God has given us. But their faith, the people in Corinth, their faith was being tested, and unfortunately there was many of them were failing the test. They knew as believers that they were, again, new creations, and they knew that they were born from above and changed from within. But what did that really look like in their lives? What should it look like? How many of you know that there's times it's easy to talk about what you should be, come on, and to acknowledge what you should do, but not so easy to become all that you should be and do all that you should do? We can talk about prayer, hello. We can talk about attending church. We can talk about different things. But if we don't purpose in our hearts to do them, come on. Anyway, Paul heard about their struggles. And he wrote this letter to address their problem and answer their questions and clear up their confusion. And by the way, you know, I don't think we say this enough, but did you know if you're facing confusion in your life, that isn't God? Oh, come on. How many of you know that that isn't God? If there's confusion in your life, that comes from somewhere else, all right? So 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion," all right? Done. If you're confused about something, 9 times out of 10, it's the enemy in your life. Okay. He's the one that authors confusion, not God. But Paul began to instruct them how to leave the worldliness behind and make a clear, concise commitment to Christ. In other words, they had to live their new life in Christ on purpose. All right? On purpose. And in trying to explain what being a Christian entailed, the Apostle Paul likened our spiritual journey, their spiritual journey, if you will, to a race. And to define it even further, the kind of race that was going to take energy, it was going to take exertion, it was going to take endurance. How many of you ran cross country in high school? Yeah, me either, okay? Who did? All right. Oh, and Nate. There we go. You can stay in here. Anyway, when runners run in a race, they all have one common focus. And that is, first and foremost, they're focused on the finish line. They're focused on finishing the race, but they're focused more on the finish line. It was with this thought in mind, this mindset, if you will, that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in the verse that is found in 1 Corinthians 9:24. And it says this, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." Well, that's just black and white. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. See, what Paul was saying here is to run your race with purpose and run your race on purpose. And I think that this is an exhortation to you and I today as much as it was to them back then in Corinth. I mean, it's a correction for some of us. It's an encouragement for others. The truth is, and I may say this a few times, okay? The truth is, we will not win the race any other way. In fact, we may never even leave the starting blocks without purposing in our hearts to run the race on purpose. All right? I mean, it was a decision that we made, and for me, it was a tough decision. But the Lord had a way of breaking me down. But when it came to accepting him, it took a while, and I could see that, you know, when I finally did. And it's just so important. There came a time in my life, like I said, where I did it on purpose. I realized I had gotten saved for weeks and weeks and weeks in a row to get out of trouble, okay, with Serena. But the truth was, when I finally was confronted with Christ, I made a decision, and that was it. That was going to be the way it was. I was going to serve the Lord. And it was done on purpose. And I had to, you know, have a purpose. And God gives us a lot of purposes. But let's tear into the scripture and see if we can understand what's being said here and maybe learn what its intent is. The word run that is used in verse 24 is the Greek word treko. And it simply means to run, okay? What does it mean? Run. All right. But it also implies something that is very, very important. It implies that we are to run the race at a constant and continuous pace, all right? There's more to it than just running. The word treko often depicted runners who ran in a foot race in a huge stadium before crowds of cheering fans. It was an event that was scheduled, so it was run on purpose, all right? And in order for the runner to run successfully and finish the race triumphantly, they had to give it their all, every ounce of their strength, okay? And their total focus was required. Now remember, Paul had this example in ministry as he wrote this verse. He did. Please hear me. I want you to get, you know, if you don't write anything else down or if you don't remember anything else when you go down to eat chili or anything like that, just as it takes a full focus, all right, for a runner and a stride that is paced for a runner to run a long distance, Paul now uses the word treko to tell us that if we are going to run our race as God expects us to, all of those things have to be in it. It will require 100% of our attention and intention. And it also requires that we give it our all and that we run at a consistent and continuous pace. In other words, we can't live our Christianity today and then not live your Christianity tomorrow. And that's awful easy to do on a Sunday. You know, man, you're super Christian on a Sunday, but you have to live it on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and throughout the week until Sunday comes again. We can't act like a Christian in front of certain people and then choose to walk differently in front of others. We can't just pray and seek and worship and praise Him on Sunday morning in our church and then not revisit any of those things. Please hear me, not revisit any of those things until the next Sunday. In order for you and I to have a right relationship and be able to call it a real relationship with the Lord, it has to be constant, it has to be consistent, and include continuous communication. Amen? Continuous communication. Are you with me? And once we are in the race, once we've accepted the Lord, once we've begun our Christian walk, we need to run the race ferociously and at a fearless and a constant pace. Why? Because the proper stride, and I want you to hear me, the proper stride while running the race saves you strength in the race. All right? Now, what do I mean? In order to stay in the race on a long-term basis, which is what everybody in here wants, right? Amen? All right. Amen? We got both sides on that one, okay? But in order to stay in the race on a long-term basis, we need to learn to pace ourselves. And please, I'll explain this. You might wonder why. So we can stay consistent, so that we can continue in the race. But what am I trying to say? Some of us get cornered into doing things, and we always say yes, 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 yes. And I don't want anybody to quit anything they're doing. I'm not saying that. That isn't the problem we're having. We have to run at God's pace. Amen? We have to run at God's pace, doing the things that He tells us to do, and nothing else. And nothing else. Because if we run hard and too fast of a pace, if we set too hard and too fast of a pace, we won't survive the race. You understand me? Nothing is worse than feeling overwhelmed. Nothing is worse than feeling depressed by the things that are happening around you. And when you look Jeremiah 29:11 says the following, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." All right? When we do what God wants us to do, when we say yes to God, God's stride will always save our strength, okay? It will always save our strength. So do what God tells you to do. Listen to God's voice, not somebody else's. Now, if anybody wants to quit a ministry because of that, you didn't hear that right, okay? Okay? It's so funny. I was talking to Donna at the beginning of the service, and, you know, I said, do you realize how important it is when people say amen? or when people say yes, or yeah, man, that's great. And have you ever heard me say things like, come on, don't make me preach this alone? That's because, okay, your amen, your yes, your encouragement pulls more and more and more out of me. And really isn't out of me, is the Holy Spirit through me. And you actually get more than you bargained for when you came to church. That's why I sit up here and I say amen, and I hear, amen. Are you with me? Can you say amen?
Amen?
Whoa, I thought so. That's good. That's good. Then Paul tells us that we are to run until we obtain. This is where running on purpose with purpose comes in. The word obtain is the Greek word katalambano. So say with me, katalambano. Do that one more time. Katalambano. Very good. It's a compound word of two words, of kata and labano. The word kata describes something that is coming downward. And the word lambano means to take or seize a hold of something. When they are put together in one word, it becomes a word, again, katalambano, and it becomes a very powerful word. For example, this word paints the picture of someone who has found something he has searched for all his entire life, and rather than lose it or pass up the opportunity to possess it, he pounces on it with all of his might, latching hold of it and seizing it with great joy. This should be the way that we should look at our salvation experience. Amen? I've been looking for something all my life. Come on, people. I've been looking for something all my life, and I found it. Now that I've found it, I'm going to do everything I can to keep it. Amen? And the world might fight against you. Your flesh might fight against you. In fact, they will. But I want you to know, that you can overcome it by doing things God's way. Okay. Amen? This Greek word, also gives us a picture of a runner who runs fearlessly, fiercely, and ferociously, and uses every last ounce of his energy as he strains forward towards the finish line. Remember, our focus should always be on finishing. As long as we're always thinking about what the finish is, we're going to get through the stuff beforehand. Amen? How did Jesus make it through? By focusing on the joy that was set before him. Amen? Amen. And finally, okay? At last, the runner reaches the goal and crosses the finish line, and the prize now belongs to the runner. He won the race, and he gets the reward because he put his whole heart, soul, and body into obtaining it. I mean, what an amazing picture of our spiritual journey. If that doesn't shake you up, I don't know if anything will, all right? You know, that our spiritual journey should be full of action. Amen. Not full of setting and just receiving, but full of action and taking what we have received and applying it. Why don't you say this after me? I'm going to run the race to receive. Once more, I'm going to run the race to receive. Not only with purpose. Now say this one like you believe it, but on purpose. In light of the three Greek words that we've just looked at so far, treko and the compound word katalambano, that are found in 1 Corinthians 9:24, we can interpret the verse like this, okay? Now, I'm not trying to change the Bible, but hear this. Don't you know that those who compete in a foot race run with all their might and strength against the other runners, but only one wins the competition and takes the prize. In light of this, run with all the might you can muster. Go the distance and pace yourself to make sure you have enough energy to get to the finish line, where you will finally latch hold of and possess that which you have been so passionately and purposely pursuing. And that's, I guess, the question I have for you today. You know, have you been passionately pursuing in your life? Have you been passionately and purposely pursuing? Or is it always tomorrow that it's going to start? Is it always Monday that it's going to start? And you know, I think that's okay to have start times and things like that. But I think if the Lord would say to you anything this morning, he'd say, now is the time. Amen. Don't wait until tomorrow. Don't wait until something bad happens. I'm here all the time. I'm not only just here when you have a terrible day. I'm not only just here when you're going through a storm, but I am here when you are having the best time of your life. Amen? I will never, ever leave you or forsake you. And the Greek infers, I will not, I will not, I will not. He's serious, okay? He will not ever leave us or forsake us. At the end of Paul's own life, he wrote this in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have finished my course. I have finished my course. His race was finished. All those years of running the race with resolve, all those years of fearlessly fighting with ferocious people, it finally paid off. It finally paid off. And I want you to know this morning, and I think I'm having a little bit of trouble getting it across, but I want you to know this morning that if you and I will run our race with that resolve that Paul had, well, we can't do that. That's Paul. Yes, you can. If you run your race at an intentional pace, I'm going to get up tomorrow morning and I'm going to pray. How am I going to do that? I'm going to set my alarm a half hour earlier. I'm going to, on purpose, do that this morning. If you run with purpose, and if you run on purpose, it will pay off for you. Run to receive. Say, run to receive. One more time, run to receive. So make the decision this morning, would you, that you're going to run the race, focus on the finish, run with purpose, and run on purpose. You know, that's why, and I did get this before George Meyer did, okay? That's why the vision of this church is life on purpose, because I know that all of us, including me, we battle, we fight. Okay, to do everything on purpose, to do the right things on purpose. But I know as I know as I know that if you focus on that, you focus on the finish, you get up in the morning, you take care of business, you know, you read, you pray. I know that if you purpose to do that, that you'll have a, quote, successful Christian life. And I can't say it loud enough, okay? You're expecting me to shout, aren't you? As Christians, we need to be intentional. It's too easy to get out of this place on a Sunday morning, go home and take a nap, get up Monday morning, and be right in the rat race again. No different, not letting the word change you that you heard on Sunday morning. None of that. It's too easy. And it happens to a lot of us, if not most of us. But I know you're already a priority in God's eyes. You're already a priority in God's eyes. Make God a priority in your eyes. Amen? Are you with me? Run your race to the best of your ability. Amen? All right, why don't you stand with me, please? I got a declaration for us today, and I would like us to make this declaration with, well, just don't make me preach this alone, okay? So don't make me declare this alone. So you can say this after me. I declare,
yeah,
that I am fixed and focused
on
God's plan for my life.
I declare
my stride saves my strength.
I declare
I will run my race to receive.
And I declare
I will run my race with purpose. And I will run my race on purpose. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name.
I declare this by faith in Jesus' name.
And everybody shouted, and I mean shouted, amen and amen. Amen. We, of course, have a chili cook-off. But if there's anyone that wants to come and spend time with this altar, we'll keep playing. We'll keep going, you know, and the others can go down. You know, if you would have to say, if you were confronted with this question, have you run your race with resolve? Have you put all of your energy into it? How would you have to answer that? And I want you to just think about that just for a moment as Pastor Josh plays this song. And if you want to start now, if, you know, it's getting old saying, all right, on Monday, all right, next Monday, all right, tomorrow. If you want to start running that race right now, then the altar's open. No pressure. You and God, that's what's important.